shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the Gospel according to John chapter 6. We shall read from verse 41. John chapter 6 from verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. And so on. The Jews were murmuring at the teaching of Christ. They could not appreciate what he was saying to them. They did not like what they were hearing. And so they did not come to him. They did not put their trust in him. And Jesus is telling them the reason why. They didn't come to him because they need the Father to draw them to come. If they were being taught by the Father, they would come. If they were drawn by the Father, they would come to Jesus. But they didn't come. And this is the great truth that Jesus is teaching them here in this passage. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Sinners are not able to come to Jesus without the drawing of the Father. And here is a great lesson we must learn. We must come to Jesus, but how can we come to Jesus? Only by the power of God. And perhaps this is one of the main points. If we have not come to Jesus, then it is evidence we have not been drawn by the Father. We are still lost, still in a lost condition, still blind, still unsaved. And so it is very solemn to have this verdict about ourselves. We have not been drawn. We have not been taught. We have not heard and learned of the Father. And Jesus is telling them, don't murmur. Let us not complain that Jesus' teaching is hard. Do not find fault with him and his message. The fault lies with ourselves. The fault lies in our own unbelief and our darkness. And we don't understand and appreciate the truth. We don't perceive the suitability and loveliness of Christ for one reason. We're still in a natural state. We're still dead in trespasses and sins. We need the Holy Spirit to understand these things. We need the Father to draw us in order to submit to Christ and his teaching. Friends, this is the absolute need of being taught by the Father. If we're not taught and drawn by him, we will not come to him, and we will perish in our sins. And there is something else that is important to remember in all of this that we cannot escape, and that is the great responsibility lying upon us to come to Christ. Jesus tells us in this sermon that he preached to the Jews at the synagogue, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You see, the need of the Father's drawing us does not take away our responsibility to come to Christ. God is calling us to come to Jesus, and we will be held accountable before the Most High God, the judge of all the earth, for not coming to Christ. Unless we come to Jesus, we will be cast out into outer darkness. So we must recognize again the responsibility to come to the Savior for salvation. You say, how can I come? Well, let us be thankful that though we are unable to come, the Father draws sinners. This is what he does. So don't murmur. Don't murmur. Lay to heart the need. Recognize your condition and pray earnestly that the Father would draw you, that you would come to Christ. So we have, friends, in this part of God's word, three great needs, and we will call them absolute needs. First, the absolute need of being drawn by the Father to Christ. Secondly, the absolute need of being taught, the absolute need of divine teaching. We need to be taught of God. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And that's important to remember, that everyone who is taught by God certainly does come to Jesus. And then in the third place, the absolute need of coming to Christ. Absolute need of coming. If you don't come, you will be lost forever. Saddest words a minister can utter. You don't come to Jesus, you will perish in hell. That has to be a certain sound. If you don't trust in Jesus, if you or I don't trust, we will perish in our sins. Why do I get all animated about this? Because people are going to make an excuse out of this very portion of God's word and say, well, I can't come unless the Father draws me. If you don't come to Jesus, taking the responsibility and flee to him, you will perish. Mark these words, you will perish. You will perish. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have indeed the absolute need of being drawn, and then the absolute need of divine teaching, and then the absolute need of coming to Christ. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They were murmuring, and this word means to mutter. They were uttering words in a low tone. They didn't necessarily want Jesus to hear what they were saying. They muttered their discontent with what they were hearing. They couldn't see the glory of Jesus' teaching, and what Jesus said did not fit with their way of thinking. So they didn't appreciate what he said. They didn't see the glory of it, the wonder of it, the loftiness of these wonderful words, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And so instead of asking Jesus to explain what he was teaching them, they harp on this claim that Jesus came from heaven. And they think they know all about him. And so he couldn't possibly come from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They weren't prepared to accept that his origin was heaven, or that he was born of the Virgin Mary. They thought he was born of Joseph and Mary. And yet he claims to have come from heaven. Well, the Jews were responding wrongly to Jesus' teaching. They did not believe in him or what he was, or his claims. They accepted some of his teaching, but not this claim. And they certainly did not accept his claim to be the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. They didn't understand these things, so they did not trust in him. Instead, they grumbled and complained and murmured. They muttered their dissatisfaction with Jesus' teaching. But Jesus told them not to. Don't murmur. That's something we all have to lay to heart. We start muttering things about what we don't like in regard to the teaching, and it's confusing to us, and this is very hard to understand and hard to accept. Jesus says, don't murmur. You need to pay attention and listen and learn. Seek divine teaching. Be willing to learn. Be ready to submit to the teaching of the Lord. Listen carefully. And listen to this. The reason you don't appreciate what I'm saying is this. It requires the Father's drawing and teaching for you to appreciate it and come to me. This is the reason. Thus far you have not come to me because the Father has not yet drawn you. The Father who has sent me draws sinners to me, and you haven't come to me, so you haven't been drawn by the Father who sent me. You must be drawn by the Father. You need the Father as the sender of me, because the Father's purpose and the Son's mission is in harmony. The Father has sent Jesus. Jesus comes to save sinners, and the Father ensures that sinners will come to Jesus and be saved. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him to me, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Father draws sinners to carry out Christ's mission, and that mission is the salvation of sinners from everlasting peril and danger. You need the Father to draw you so that you would come to Christ and not be cast out. You need the Father to draw you so that you will understand the teaching, so that you will appreciate the glory and the need of it, and that you would actually come and trust in Jesus. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That is, every single individual must be drawn in order to come to Christ. That person who is to be saved must experience this drawing power in order to be saved. We need to experience what we have in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have drawn thee. I have drawn you. And that's why you have come. That's what we need to experience, or we cannot come to Jesus. And this drawing is an internal operation. It is an internal work of God in our hearts. He draws us by drawing our hearts to him. We are attracted to Christ because of the drawing, attracting power of God. And it is like drawing out a sword from its sheath, unsheathing a sword, the same word drawing or draw him is used in John chapter 18 and verse 10, where Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, pulled it out of the sheath, and used it against the high priest's servant. And again, it's used for dragging a net of fish. And so again, Simon Peter, we read that he drew the net to land full of great fishes, John 21, 11. Same word is used in all these places. This drawing is like being pulled with a rope. You remember these lovely words in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. When God draws sinners, it's with compassion. It is with grace and love, drawing them sweetly to Christ. Have you been drawn sweetly to Christ? Without this drawing, we cannot come to Christ. We are not able. That's what Jesus is saying. No man is able to come except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Why is this? Why is it that without this drawing power we cannot come to Christ? It is for this reason, very simple reason, because by nature we are spiritually dead. Here is the inability of man, the inability of all man by nature. Man by nature of himself is totally depraved and corrupt and is unable to perform the least good that accompanies salvation. There may be good things that he does, like working hard for his family to put food on the table. That's a good thing in itself, but he cannot do anything spiritually good that accompanies salvation. No saving good. He is not able to love God. He's not able to trust in Jesus. He doesn't have the aim for the glory of God. There is no true trust and dependence upon God because he is spiritually dead. So we are not able of ourselves to come to Jesus because we are spiritually dead in sin. This death is manifesting itself. This spiritual death is manifesting itself in the unwillingness to come to Christ. This spiritual death is such that we are ruled by an evil heart of unbelief. That is the seriousness and the solemnity of the matter. And we have no appreciation of the beauty of the truth or the loveliness of Christ. Just as a dead man on the battlefield, a dead man cannot appreciate the beautiful scenery around him or the birds chirping above him. He has been shot on the battlefield. He's dead. He doesn't hear the sweet sounds of the marching music past him. He's dead. So a dead soul cannot appreciate the beauty of Christ or the loveliness of the praises of God. No. There's no spiritual discernment, no desire to honor God. A dead man has no desire for pleasure, and a dead soul has no spiritual joy, no pleasure in divine things. A dead man has no appetite for food because he's dead. So a spiritually dead soul has no appetite for the truth as it is in Jesus, no desire for the spiritual bread, the bread which came down from heaven. And that is why the Jews did not come to Jesus. They came with their feet, but not with their heart. They were walking around the lake to get to him. Why? Because they were fed with the loaves of bread. They desired the physical, material bread. They were hungry for that, but they did not desire the heavenly bread. Because they were carnal, they were spiritually dead and ruined in sin. Does any of this describe us? No appetite for the word, no appreciation of the beauty of Christ, and no desire to praise God from the heart and seek his glory because of the love-worthy nature of God. Do we therefore see the need of being drawn to Christ by the power of the Father? Do we see that we are spiritually lost and ruined? Do we recognize our inability? Perhaps we have tried to come to Christ. We have tried and forced ourselves to appreciate the loveliness of the truth, but we're still blind. We're still hardened. And we feel that. We feel our inability. Well, it is good to recognize clearly our inability so that we will cry to God all the more for his saving work, this divine drawing to Christ. That is what we absolutely need, to be drawn to Christ so that we will come to him. And Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone that is drawn by the Father and comes to Christ will be raised up. They will not be left in their corruption. No one will lie still in the grave. But for God's people, they will be raised up with incorruptible bodies. and powerful and honorable, and be changed and made like Christ, Jesus will raise him up at the last day so that every believer will be conformed and be made like him. But here is the comfort for those who have come to Christ. And one of the church fathers, Augustine, mentions this, if I understand him right, that on the earth, their life is very much a life of being drawn and hungry and having an appetite for the truth, and they're very much going to Jesus. But it's in heaven, after the resurrection, when they go to heaven and after the resurrection, that their desires are most fully gratified. They're being drawn on earth, and God and Christ will raise them up at the last day so that they will be fully satisfied and be filled with all the fullness of God. And so let that be an encouragement. Yes, we're God's people have an appetite. That's good. They're hungry for the word, and that is good. And yet they're not being absolutely filled. They're still hungry. Well, that hunger is leading them closer and closer to Christ, where they will have a spiritual feast in heaven, and even to be fed with the grace and the love of Christ forever and ever. Well, this is what we all need, every one of us. God's people, they still need to be drawn. They're praying as they are taught in Song of Solomon chapter 1, "Draw me, we will run after thee." And without this drawing, sinners will remain lost. Yes, they'll remain accountable before God, but they will be they will remain lost in darkness and liable to eternal misery and confusion and groping about in the dark, spiritually blind and ignorant. And friends, this is what we need. We need to be taught of the Father. We need divine teaching in the second place, the absolute need of divine teaching. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." The Lord Jesus Christ confirms his teaching by the truth of Scripture. He refers to Scriptures of the Old Testament, which asserted this truth that he is preaching to them, that sinners must be drawn by the Father. And perhaps he is summarizing various Scriptures. And one that he may be referring to is found in Jeremiah and chapter 31, when he speaks about, when God is speaking about the coming days, that "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah," and so on, verse 33, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the law is not just going to be taught them by their rabbis. The law is going to be in their hearts. They're going to know the truth. They're going to understand it in their souls. And then he says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." They shall all know me. They will learn of me. They will be taught by me. They will know me. And so Jesus is saying, you must have the truth in your heart. You must be taught of the Father, and then you will come to me, and you will know me. And there's another verse in the Old Testament that more closely matches what Jesus says, and that is in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." All thy children, that is all the children of the church, all those who are God's children, all of them will be taught of the Lord, and their peace shall be great. So Jesus is telling the Jews that they need to be taught of the Lord, that it is not only by the bare word, it's not just by the instruction of their teachers, but God teaches people by his Spirit, using his word. It's not without the word, the Spirit uses the word, but it is being taught by the Spirit. God himself teaches us internally, inwardly, in our hearts, our minds, our souls, divine teaching. And this is by his Spirit. The Spirit of God gives divine illumination, light in our souls. He, by his light, convinces us of the truth of the Word of God about us. So the Word of God says we're sinners, we have transgressed his law, we have broken his commandments. That's what we see here in the Word. The Holy Spirit also shows us here in our hearts. We're convinced of the truth of it. All have sinned, I have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. We see this because the Spirit is teaching us. But not only that, of course, he shows us Christ. God, by his Spirit, enlightens our minds in the knowledge of Christ. He gives us light to see the glory of Jesus Christ. Our eyes of our minds, Paul speaks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened to know the hope of his calling. The eyes of our understanding are open to discern the beauty of Christ, the loveliness of Christ, the loveliness of the truth in Christ, so that we see him to be the pearl of great price. He is a Savior that is just the Savior we need, absolutely suitable to our condition. We see that because God is opening our eyes and giving us a view of Christ. And what happens? That view of Christ attracts us. We are drawn to what we see to be lovely, because we're being drawn by the Father and his teaching us about Christ. You see, this is what we need to remember as well, that the Lord uses rational means and conviction to draw us through the truth, using the truth, presenting it to our minds. In other words, we're not treated as machines. Apart from our minds and wills, God draws us to Christ not in some mechanical way. It is not by force. It is not against our will, but it is by rational means, by teaching us, showing us the truth, and giving us light to see and a new heart to desire it. So he gives us light in our minds, and he gives us desire in our hearts, showing us the truth and drawing us to the truth as it is in Jesus. So he draws us in a way that is suitable to our nature and our constitution. That's why when a person comes to Jesus, he or she doesn't always know that it's the Spirit drawing him or her to Christ, because the Lord is using the truth. And he's taking away our prejudice and taking away our darkness and showing us the reasons to embrace Christ, the evidence that he is a worthy, suitable Savior. Our eyes are open to see this. It's not as if we're being led backwards to Christ. We're led frontwards to Christ with our eyes wide open to Jesus and our hearts open to receive him, so that we embrace him and we truly come to him. This, you see, this is what Jesus is telling us. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They shall all be taught of God. This teaching is drawing. If we are taught of the Lord, we are being drawn of the Lord. God uses the truth. He presents the word to us. He gives us light in our minds. He gives us life in our souls so that our hearts go out to him, going out to the truth as it is in Jesus. If you have children and you may have experienced a toddler drifting away from you, wandering off from you, and you want the child to come back to you, well, you could just take the child by the hand and drag him or her to you, Or you could hold out a sweet, something nice to eat, and then the child is drawn to that and comes to you. So God holds out to us the truth as it is in Jesus, presents to us the lovely Savior in his suitability to our need. And because he has put life in our souls, yes, there's a new capacity and desire for that truth that our eyes are open to see. And that's what we're being drawn to. Christ himself, so that we inevitably come to him. We are drawn to the sweetness and loveliness of Christ, the preciousness of Christ. This divine teaching, if it is not in itself the drawing, it goes hand in hand with it. The divine teaching draws the sinner to the Savior so that the sinner truly does come to Christ. And of course, this is the work of the Spirit, an effectual calling. God the Father draws us by his Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit. The Father works through the Spirit. He works in our hearts by the Spirit, putting life in our souls in the new birth, just as Jesus says earlier in chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So a person who is saved is born of the Spirit, and the water there is referring to the cleansing virtue of the Spirit's power. When a person is born again, it's a clean heart that is put in the soul. Holiness has begun. Sanctification has begun. The sinner is made holy by that saving work of the Spirit. So the sinner is convinced of his sin and misery, enlightened in his mind in the knowledge of Christ. His will is renewed, and he is persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to him in the gospel. Effectual calling. God is calling us by his Spirit. The Father is drawing us by his Spirit. He is teaching us and so drawing us. He is teaching us, giving us life in us so that we are drawn to what we see and we come to Christ, trusting in him for the salvation of our souls. And why is it the Father? Why does Jesus say the Father and why does he not say the Spirit? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him at the last day. He says it's the Father who draws us to show that the Father ensures that all whom he gave to his Son actually indeed come to the Son. The Father gave this people to his Son. He will see to it that they all come. And it's also, he says, the Father draws them so that they come in order to show that the Father himself loves them. Those who are drawn by the Father to Jesus Christ experience the love of God. It's the love of the Father that draws them to Christ. And that's a very comforting thought, isn't it? If I have been drawn by the Father, God is showing his love to me. It's his love that leads him to draw me to come to Christ for my salvation. So here is the consequence of this drawing and this teaching. If we're being taught by the Father, we're being drawn by the Father. And if we're being taught and drawn, we're actually coming to Jesus. Every person, every man, verse 45, "Therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Every person without exception, if you have heard the Father and learned from the Father, you have come to Jesus. Without question, it is a hearing not just with the ears. You hear and so you obey. Hearing with the heart. It is a learning not just with the intellect, but with the whole soul. The understanding has been enlightened. We perceive the loveliness of the truth, the loveliness and suitability of Christ. And so it is with the whole soul coming to Jesus out of love and attraction to him. That happens to everyone whom the Father teaches and the Father draws, just as Simon Peter experienced it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, when Peter says, and remember he's saying it from the heart out of love to Jesus, Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Here's the comfort. If you have been drawn to Jesus Christ and you're calling him Jesus from the heart and calling him Lord in your soul and in your life and submitting to him, remember what Paul says, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. If you call Jesus Lord from your heart and you submit to him and you surrender your life to him, that wasn't of yourself. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is telling Peter, you are blessed, Peter, because it wasn't flesh and blood. You didn't just come up with that all of a sudden of your own ingenuity. The Father revealed this to you. If your eyes are open to see the loveliness of Jesus and your heart goes out to Jesus, it's because the Father has revealed him to you. Yes, this is the work of God by his Spirit. God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This happens to everyone who has heard of the Father and learned of the Father. It's good for ministers to check the Greek, because if you look at verse 45, every man that therefore that hath heard, comma, and hath learned of the Father, comma, cometh unto me. And in the original, it's actually every man therefore that hath heard of the Father and hath learned, cometh unto me. So this hearing is definitely hearing from the Father. It's not just hearing the word in church, in the pew, but you have heard from the Father and learned of the Father. From him, you come to Jesus. Everyone does. And Jesus says, not that any man hath seen the Father, verse 46, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. This is sort of like a qualification of what he says. He's saying learning of the Father does not equate to full knowledge of the Father. No, only Jesus knows the Father with absolute knowledge. Only Jesus, the Son of God, knows the Father in his essential nature. He has seen the Father. We don't see the Father as to his essential nature. And though God is can be known, he cannot be fully known. He's incomprehensible. But we can know him through Jesus Christ. We can learn of him. And what he teaches us is this, the preciousness of Christ. The preciousness of Christ. So here is theologians call irresistible grace. Irresistible grace is one of the notes of Calvinism, which is simply biblical truth. And that is that all who are taught of God come to Jesus, every single one of them. There's not one person who is truly drawn by the Father and taught with divine teaching who just stays by himself and doesn't come to Jesus. They all come. If God graciously deals with someone, that person will certainly come. No one is able to resist the work of God the Father through the Spirit. They will not be able to resist God's saving work in drawing the sinner to Christ. And that's encouraging, because it doesn't matter how old the person is, hardened the person is, or unintelligent the person is, people who are mental disabilities, this encourages the minister. God can save anyone. Doesn't matter who they are. If they have the truth, they know something about Jesus. He doesn't save without the word, but if they have the word, God can save them. Anyone. All who experience divine teaching and drawing will certainly come to Christ. And on the other hand, if we don't come to Jesus, it's because we're not being taught. No one should think they know anything right until they have come to Jesus. They're not being taught of God. They haven't experienced divine teaching until they have come to Jesus. Don't be proud of your knowledge if you haven't come to Jesus. You don't know anything until then. Just to be get the point across. It's as if you know nothing. You are not wise. You can be brilliant in science and know everything about the galaxies of the universe, but you haven't come to Christ. You're still foolish. So, friends, let us lay this to heart. If we do not see the preciousness of Christ, if we don't see his preciousness, if Jesus is not sweet to us, we have not been taught by God. We're not saved. Oh, how we should pray earnestly that our eyes will be opened, our minds enlightened, our hearts drawn to Christ, that God would so teach us and draw us that we would actually, indeed, come to Jesus. Because if we don't come to Christ, we will perish. In the third place, then, the absolute need of coming to Christ. No man can come to me. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That clearly is bringing before us God's sovereignty. Only those who are drawn by the Father come to Christ. If you are not drawn by the Father, you will not, you cannot come to Christ. As Paul says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Sometimes the Lord's people, they step back and they say, it is truly amazing. God actually saved me. He actually drew me. And why? He passed over millions. I can see many, many others that God passed by. But he drew me. Why? Because he is sovereign. It's not of him that willeth. It's not because I had more brilliance than someone else, or I just had keen insight and I could look into the future and I knew better than others. No. Because he sovereignly drew me. And that's the only reason. So that's divine sovereignty. But friends, we must not, and we should not, isolate this text from the rest of the context. Because Jesus preached one sermon to the Jews on that day. And it begins with human responsibility. And he ends with human responsibility, and in the middle speaks of divine sovereignty. He began by teaching them, this is the work of God. Don't labor for the meat which perisheth. This is what you need to do. Labor for the meat which endures to everlasting life. And he closes saying, this is that bread which came down from heaven. The bread that your fathers did eat, that manna, they're dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You must come to me. You must feed on me spiritually by faith, and you will live. And in the middle, he speaks of this need of divine teaching and drawing, showing that the reason they don't come is not because there's anything wrong with him and his teaching. It's because they're still dead in sin. Don't murmur then. In fact, there's human responsibility right here in the context, which when the Jews were muttering, saying, how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus says, don't mutter. Stop. You're responding wrongly, and you're responsible for how you respond. Listen to what I say. You need divine teaching, so pray for that. You need to submit to my teaching, so pray for that too. You need divine drawing. This is an absolute necessity. Lay it to heart. Don't pretend you didn't hear what Jesus said. Oh, you've heard all right. He's told you the truth. How are you going to respond to that? You're held accountable for that. And this is the only appropriate response, to submit to his teaching, even if we don't understand it. It's the only appropriate response. Think about what he is saying. act suitably, respond properly, as Peter did. Jesus said, are you going away too? Peter said, there's nobody else to go to. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm not saying I understand everything that thou art teaching me at this moment, but I know there's nowhere else to go. So I look to thee, Lord. So, friends, we are warned about a careless response, a response that reveals our evil hearts indeed. If I can only come to the Father, to Jesus, if the Father draws me, then there's nothing I can do. And in fact, I cannot be held responsible for not coming. That's an evil response. That's putting your wisdom above God's wisdom, as if you know better than the teaching of God. God says you are responsible. Jesus says you will perish if you don't repent. And you say, no, I can't be held responsible. You know better than Christ. Oh, how we need to humble ourselves and not ignore what Jesus teaches. This is the duty of all duties, that you believe on the one whom he hath sent. He tells them just to, immediately before this, I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You're not coming to me, but others will. Oh, I will have many come to me. Are you going to be left out? Are you going to stand idly by and let others come to Jesus while you're just holding back? Then you have only yourself to blame for perishing in a lost condition. Oh, if I see people coming to Jesus, it should stir me up. Leave me not, Lord. I would come to thee too. And the danger that we're in, and this is what Jesus is showing them, their danger, should awaken us. And the danger that others are in, when we see them drifting off further, rebelling against God more and more, that should alarm us too. It should stir us up. Some have so much bitterness and unbelief and hardness of heart that on the human level, nothing that is said to them will bring them to a better mind. It will only make them more bitter and malicious against the truth. It's just evidence of human depravity and the evil heart of unbelief, and how it should alarm us. Here's the Jews responding to Jesus' precious teaching, and their response is just confirming their corruption and depravity. And so Jesus says in verse 65, when many were leaving him and even his disciples were murmuring at him, he says, there are some of you that believe not. In verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, because of your hardness and unbelief, therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. It must be given to you. You see the multitudes not coming to Christ. You see multitudes getting harder in their hearts and stronger in their wickedness. It's because they cannot come without the Father's drawing. And they're lost. And God is leaving them to themselves. And what a fearful thing to be left to ourselves. If you have not come to Jesus, thus far, you've been left to yourself. Shouldn't that awaken you? What a loss to be left to myself and my blindness and ignorance. Lord, leave me not to myself. Lord, look upon me, pity me. That's the response. Perhaps you have been confused about the doctrines of God's word, and perhaps even this very doctrine is one of them that leaves you frustrated. And when you think about divine sovereignty and human responsibility, and you say, this is confusing, and you're ready to just leave it, and you're in danger then of going further and further away from God. And it would be just for God to leave you to that. and you couldn't blame God for not drawing you, because, again, divine drawing is an act of divine sovereignty, and we should not think that we are entitled to it. If we are drawn, it is free grace. And yet, friends, instead of being frustrated, how we should beg of God to have mercy upon us, remembering that He is ready to put forth power and grace. He offers the aid of His Spirit so that sinners would come to Jesus. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him. And so the Lord Jesus is not putting an obstacle in their path when He tells them that no man is able to come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. He's not putting an obstacle in their path. The obstacle is in their own heart. And He's showing them that they would be awakened, that they would submit, they would seek the Lord with all their heart. If we were thinking to ourselves that I don't need divine teaching, I don't need divine drawing, I can just come when I please, which is what the Arminians teach, then we would delay as long as we please. But if we recognize fully, we're dead in sin. It's like teenagers, they're playing a game of ball in a hall, and then the alarm goes off, and they're worried about a fire, and people and the teenagers say that there's no smoke, we'll just keep playing. So they keep playing, even though the alarm is going off. And then one of them says, yes, the alarm is still going off, but the door is jammed. The exit door is stuck. We are stuck. Well, then they'll drop what they're doing, and they'll cry out for help. When you know that you cannot of yourself come to Christ, you know that you are lost, dead in sin, and only the divine power of God will draw you so that you will come to Christ, you'll cry out to God. That's the right response. If you really feel that you are dead in sin, lost, hardened, you are stuck, you will cry out to God for mercy. The gospel vice closes you in to looking to Jesus. On the one hand, you are not able to come. On the other hand, you must come. You cannot, but you must, and you're squeezed and closed in to looking up to Jesus, the one who says, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, those who are drawn, closed in to Christ, they come. And when they come, there's a great welcome. So seek Him and submit to His teaching. You said, but I've tried to come many times. Well, remember what the Lord Jesus told Peter. Cast out the net. Peter says, I've been toiling all night and caught nothing. Cast it out again. And he obeys. Nevertheless, at thy word I would do so. And what happened then? There was a great catch of fishes. And who knows, but the next attempt and endeavor at coming to Jesus will be the time you actually do come, and you're forgiven your sins, and you're blessed in your soul. You have the liberty of the gospel. Yes, it's not this attempt and that attempt and your sincere endeavors to come to Jesus. That's not going to end in your ruin. What will ruin you is if you give up those attempts. If you just say, well, I've tried, done my best, haven't come. It's only the Father who draws me. If you live your life like that, you cannot come. Don't expect to come. But if you try and you seek the Lord and you endeavor to come to Jesus, He hears your cries. He's waiting to be gracious. And if you sincerely desire Christ above all things, you desire Him for your soul, and your eyes have been opened to, in a measure, to see the bitterness of sin, then you have been drawn already. You seek the Lord with all your heart, and you desire Jesus for yourself. Your seeking is evidence that Jesus is seeking you. If Christ is precious to you, and your heart has gone out to Him, and away from sin, you have been drawn already. He is your Savior. And you will seek him still, and you will love him and live your life serving him all your days, feeding upon the bread of life. A man will eat thereof and not die. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, bless and pity us. Thou knowest our great need of divine teaching, and we cannot of ourselves come, but Lord, draw us by thy grace, and we will run after thee. Thy people are praying to be drawn. Oh, that every one of us would cry to the Lord mightily for saving grace, that we would close with Christ as all our hope, our only hope and expectation, Christ crucified. Oh, that he would be precious to us. Receive us graciously, wash us clean in his blood, all for Jesus' sake. Amen.